So we were saying yesterday how a person who doesn't learn Torah is like a chazir that has a nezem zahav in it. And we explained why is the mashal of the chazir with the golden ring. What's that concept? Right? So we said because it's an embarrassment to the ring, to the jewelry, that it's on a chazir, right? So it's embarrassment for the Torah that it's on, you know, in that way. Okay. Now, the Reb Chaim Volozhin here adds another point. And he says like this. He says that not only is it an embarrassment for the Torah, but he says for that embarrassment would be true even if, let's say, you put a necklace on the chazir. You put a necklace on the chazir, and it's jewelry, and it's inappropriate. That jewelry doesn't match the chazir, so it's inappropriate, and therefore that would be the bizayon. It would be an embarrassment for the Torah, just like it would be embarrassment for the golden necklace. But what's the thing with the ring, with the nose ring? So he says, unbelievable. He says, because what happens is, the part of the chazir which digs in the mud is his nose. So therefore, when you put a golden ring on top of the nose, so now the chazir thinks, hey, you gave me a good shovel. So now he could dig even better into the mud. So not only is the ring not beautifying him, it's being used to make him worse. He's just sticking him and the ring into the more mud than he was doing before. So he says, the intellect of a person was given to him so that he could study Torah. But if you have the ability to learn and you don't learn, so you're taking that intellect and you're just dirtying it with all the other narishkeit and stupidities that you're spending your time studying. So you're making your intellect even worse than it was before, because now you're using it to dig deeper into all these shtusim. So he says, that's the point. He says, the idea is that it's like the chazir that you, not only does the ring not match up, right? Not only does the ring not match, you know, and it's not appropriate for the chazir, not only that, it's even worse, because now what happens is that the chazir uses the ring in order to get his agenda of getting into the mud, and a person will use his intellect the same way and not for the purposes of the Torah. That's what he says. Okay, now the next thing that he says, the next thing that the Mishnah says in Mishnah Beis, it says, V'haluchos ma'aseh Elokim hema, v'hamichtav michtav Elokim hu, charus al haluchos, al tikri charus, ela cherus. She'ein lecha ben chayrin, there is nobody who is free, ela misha oisek b'talmud Torah, unless you learn. And if you learn, you raise yourself up, like it says, umimatana nachaliel, uminachaliel bamais. So this is the limit of the Mishnah, that someone who learns Torah is misale, it raises him up. And it teaches us also that haluchos, the luchos, it says charus, it was engraved on the luchos, al tikri charus ela cherus, which means that the true ben chayrin is someone who learns Torah. So the Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains here that the ben chayrin is the person who learns Torah, because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that it says Adam la'omel yulad. A person was born to work. A person was born to toil. A person was born to use their kochos, not to be lazy. That's the purpose of creation. A person was born to toil. But the Gemara says it's up to you. Call him a kabbal olav ol Torah. If a person accepts upon themselves the yoke of Torah and they're going to spend some effort, the effort that they spend in the Torah, porik mimeno olma ol derech eretz, he will become free from the yoke to spend that effort in work and futility. So as much effort as he puts into Torah, that much effort he's going to be free from in his other business dealings. So he says that's what it means. Ein lecha ben chayrin, you are free from working to that degree, ela mishoisek b'Torah, as long as you're learning. So a person that's learning, the effort that they put into learning, that frees them from putting that effort into their into other areas.
Learning lishma.
Yes. we're still in the lishma. Yeah. All this is lishma. Right. Correct. Good point. Okay. Now, I want to share with you another thought here that is from the Chidah. Okay? The truth is I want to remind myself of it. But the Chidah asks a very, very important question over here. It's an unbelievable question. He asks a question which is, if we're coming to teach us that ein lecha ben chayrin, there is nobody who is free, ela misha oisek b'Torah, where do we learn that from? Because when it describes that the luchos were carved into the tablets, it says the word charus, which means engraved. And it should have said charus baluchos. It was engraved into the stone. Instead, it says charus al haluchos. It was engraved on the stone. So the word is not correct. So it means al tikri charus. The reason he uses the word charus is not just to indicate the idea of being engraved, but also ein lecha ben chayrin ela misha oisek b'Torah. Okay? That's the true freedom of someone that learns Torah. So the Chidah explains, I think, Adam, how are you, Adam? I think that I may have said this over by you guys last year. Possible, but
I have a very bad memory, so don't worry.
Okay,
about it.
Yeah, it's possible. I did because this is not Reb Chaim Volozhin. This is the Chidah. Okay, so the Chidah says the following, and that when you have the luchos and the writing, it says what's the main thing, the ink or the paper? Well, you can't take, you need both, right? But the main thing is the ink. That's what's giving it meaning. That's what's giving it, but the ink needs somewhere to land, so it lands on the paper. So the by a person is the same thing. The paper is the guf. The ink is the neshama. The main thing is the neshama. That's what's giving meaning to the person. That's what's giving the identity. Defining the person is the ink. That's the neshama. But where is the neshama is not just floating around. It finds itself in the guf, just like the ink finds itself in the paper. So, when a person is able to learn, what does it mean that a person becomes free through their learning? What does it mean? Ein lecha ben chayrin ela misha oisek b'Torah. Someone that learns Torah is free. I mean, you could say the opposite, wouldn't you? Look at all these other people doing whatever they want. I mean, that's free. You do whatever you want. You go engage in whatever activity you want. We have no limitations, no restrictions. You know, that's freedom. I can eat whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I can look at whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. You know, now all these limitations, you're going to call me free? Doesn't make sense. The reason it's called freedom is because when a person acts only according to their guf, only according to their body, they're not really free because they are just slaves to their bodily, to their physicality. So the freedom is when the mind is able to tell the person that didn't know that what the physicality is expressing a desire to do is incorrect. And it's not the correct thing to do. And a person's mind can raise them up over that. That gives them the freedom to really choose to do what's right. Okay? So that's the freedom that you get through learning. You get that sense of freedom that you can now raise yourself up over everything else around you. So that comes through learning Torah, like we've been saying the whole time. Hareza mis'ale. A person raises himself up over what? He raises himself up over the physicality through learning. It raises the spiritual side of the person over the physical side. That's the point of what the Mishnah is saying. That's what it means that you're not free unless you learn. You have the, for example, I always say, he says, let's say you have a guy who's a smoker, who's addicted to smoking. You have another person who doesn't smoke. So the person who doesn't smoke the smoker offers the non-smoker a cigarette. And the non-smoker says, no, I'm not going to take that. And the smoker says, you're crazy, why not? He says, look, I can do whatever I want. So who's more free? The guy that chooses to smoke or the guy that chooses not to smoke? Obviously, the non-smoker is free because the smoker's addicted. So he cannot stop.
That's a great mashal, by the way. That's really perfect. I'm going to say it at the table. I love it.
Yeah.
The guy who does whatever he wants and smokes is free, or the one who restrains himself and doesn't smoke, he's free. So
exactly. Exactly.
Not so obvious, but
exactly. The addict is not free. The addict can't control himself. So
he thinks he can do whatever he wants. But
he thinks he can do whatever he wants, but in reality, he can't. And I'll bring you a proof that he's not free, because if he would choose to stop, he wouldn't be able to. Right? So he has no choice. The guy who's so adamant about not smoking, he's free. He made a decision in his mind, and his mind controls his decision. So he's free. But the guy will say, oh, you're so restrictive. You don't want to smoke? Take a cigarette? No, I don't want to. So the one that's not doing it is the guy that's free. The guy that's doing it is the addict. He has no choice. He lost his bechira. He's not free at all. Okay? So in reality, a human being without Torah is an addict to his physicality, if you think about it. Because he'll pass the restaurant, and he's just going to eat whatever he wants at that moment. He's just going to do whatever they want at that moment. So there's the sense that of raising yourself up over it is essentially we're raising ourselves up to decide to do what we want and break the addiction to the physicality. That's really the point. So what's the mashal? So good. So where do we learn all this? That's the point of the Mishnah. That's really what the Mishnah is saying. In l'cha ben chayrin ela misha isek batara. But he says, the Chida says, give him a great part here. Says the Chida that, so why is the mashal to this? I'm a little slow here, it looks like. But, all right. The Chida says, why is this taught to us in the words of Charus al Haluchais? The words were engraved into the Luchais. Why is that the source for this teaching? So he says, because remember what we said, what's the Neshama? The Neshama is the words. What's the Guf? The paper. When we got the Torah, the words weren't merely written on the paper. The words were engraved into the paper. They were engraved into the Luchos. That means that the Neshama had such a strong presence in the Guf, that wherever the neshama was present, you almost didn't even see the guf at all. It was so far engraved. The miracle was that if you held up the luchos, you would see the words on either side, right? That's what it says. No matter if I'm holding it like this, you and I would see the same thing, right? That means, according to the idea, the neshama of the person, which is the words, was so deeply engraved in the body that when you looked at the person, all you saw was the neshama. You didn't see the paper at all. Normally, if I'm holding up a piece of paper, so I'm holding up the paper, you see paper, I see words. But the paper is blocking you from seeing the words, right? But by the luchos, it wasn't like that. I could hold up the luchos, but you would be able to see the words no matter where you were. Because when they received the Torah, they had reached such a high level that the words, which means the neshama of the person, was so deeply engraved in the body that when you looked at the person, you didn't see a body, you just saw the neshama. That's why this particular teaching is taught from the word specifically in the pasuk, which says that the luchos were engraved, because that's the remez, what it means that the luchos were engraved. They were engraved meaning to say that there was no hefsik. The body didn't present any sort of hefsik between the neshama and the neshama was able to reach the highest level of spirituality. Anyway, that's the idea that of this Mishnah. So we went a little bit off of Reb Chaim Volozhiner for this one, but I had to share the Chida because it's an unbelievable Chida. And it's time. So we will continue in Mirtzah Hashem tomorrow. I'm going to send it out, and I'll send out the recording. I made a new chat, so we'll just keep posted on this. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Tomorrow is Erev. Tomorrow, I think, is Wednesday, so it's going to be the last day before Shavuos. We could decide if the Olam wants, we can continue the shir after Shavuos. You know, the idea was till Shavuos, but 15 minutes of Reb Chaim Volozhiner doesn't do.
Continue.
15 minutes of Chaim. Yeah, 15 minutes of Chaim Volozhiner a day is a good recipe for success.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Okay, everybody. Call to have a good night. Bye.